Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. I want to wish everyone that's a mother today, Happy Mother's Day. We honor you. We celebrate you. You are doing an incredible job. But before I start and I speak to you today, I want to just take a moment and I want to share with you from my heart, because Mother's Day can be such a painful day for people. I know that it can be a joyful day for a lot of people, but a lot of people are in pain right now. And I want you to know that I see you, but more importantly, God sees you. And maybe you lost a child, or maybe you never had children and you desired them. Or maybe you didn't have a mother, she walked away. Or maybe you were even abused by a mother. I just want you to know today that God loves you, and He sees what you're going through, and He cares about you, and we care about you here at Victory. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you today, and my heart's desire is that you will sense His presence right now and throughout the day, and that you will know that He is near to you. And it's Jesus said that He came to heal the brokenhearted, and there's a special grace that God will give you if you cry out to Him today and lean into Him, and He will help you throughout the day. So I just want to take a moment and just say to every mother here that mothers are incredible and that mothers are the backbone of our society. And I know in the world, mothers aren't really celebrated like they should, but God designed a mother, and God designed a mother's heart, and it's in a mother's heart to nurture. That's all motherhood is. It's about nurturing. And so I just want to tell you that you may not be a natural mother, but every one of us as women of God, we are called to nurture someone. Maybe you're an aunt. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a spiritual leader or a mentor here at Victory in a small group setting. I want you to know that you are called to nurture someone. And so maybe you don't have a natural child that you can do that with, but there's someone in your life that's God's calling you to nurture. Well, I just want to share with you today a message that I've been preparing for. And before I do, I just want to start with a funny story. Because, you know, we all have things that happen that are so traumatic sometimes at the time, but they become our greatest stories and the greatest things that we laugh about through the years. And so I just want to share with you a story of something that happened with me and my kids and John as we were traveling. We decided to go visit my family in Florida for Thanksgiving one year, and all my kids were in elementary school. And for some reason, we decided to drive an 18-hour trip straight through. Usually, we always stopped halfway, but we decided to do the 18-hour trip. So we got up at 5:30 in the morning, and we even had a luggage rack on the top of our car, and we put all our clothes up there. And so we started out, and as we were driving through the hills of West Virginia, or the mountains of West Virginia, two of my kids started feeling car sick. And I always gave them Dramamine before we started, but I gave it to them as we were driving. And maybe that was the reason that this happened to us, or one of my daughters decided to chew it up instead of swallow it. But we decided to eventually stop at a Cracker Barrel. And as we stopped there, it was jam-packed. And so we had to wait. And finally, we got a table, and we got our drinks ordered. And we're sitting there. And my one daughter looked at me and she said, "Mom, I think I'm going to get sick." And as she said that, she started projectiling and throwing up all over the table. And it wasn't a quiet thing. It was loud. So we're jam-packed with people all around us. And so everybody stops what they're doing. They hear it. And they start staring at us. And you can tell that they're gasping and they're getting sick themselves. So I took her and I put her head into my lap so that she could, you know, have some type of privacy. And she just started throwing up more and more, and it was running all down me, into my shoes, all over her, in her hair. And so I'm trying to just, you know, get her to calm down, and finally she stops, and I look up, and I am alone with my daughter. My two other kids and John bolted out, and they left me there all alone. And that's what a mother does. You always are there to clean up the messes. You're there, and you stay with your children when everybody else leaves. So I knew I had to get her up, and I had to get her out to the bathroom to clean her up. So I finally kind of get us a little bit brushed off, and we start walking that walk of shame through all the tables, and you can see everybody staring at us, and you can still hear them gasping and probably getting sick themselves. And we get in the bathroom, and it takes a while, and we are trying to clean ourselves off, and then we realize we don't have any clothes. They're all on the top of the car. So we then had to, from there, go to Walmart and walk around and try to buy clothes because we couldn't get our clothes out of the top. But in the meantime, I'm wondering, where is John and where is my other two kids? And I'm wondering, where are they? And we look around Cracker Barrel. We can't find them. We walk out, and they're in the car. They bolted on us. John paid the bill, and he shot out. My other two kids shot out because they were embarrassed. But as a mother, we are always the ones that say. And that's one I want to share with you today. I want to share with you a story about a woman, and her name was Rizpah. She's a woman that God recognized in the Bible. She had some attributes that a mother has that God wants us to take knowledge of and look at. And I want you to know today that you have a Rizpah in you. So in 2 Samuel 21, this is where the story begins with Rizpah. And before I share about what she did, I just want to set the stage. King David had taken over as king. Saul had been murdered. And so David took over, and there was a three-year drought that was going on in Israel at the time. So David went to the Lord, and he asked him, he said, what's going on? Why is it our nation being prosperous? And so the Lord, he spoke to David, and he said to him, it's because Saul broke his oath, and he did something that he was disobedient, and because of that, I can't bless you. And so what happened was Saul had taken an oath with the nation of the Gibeonites, and as he had taken that oath, he had promised them that he would protect them and he would not kill them. But in his ruling time, he slaughtered them. And so because of that, that was why Israel was experiencing this drought. And so this is where I pick up with Rizpah, because Rizpah was a mother of two of Saul's sons. And what happened was, is David contacted the leaders in that nation, and he asked them, he said, what can I do to make this right? And what they said was, we want Saul's sons, and we want to hang them and execute them for justice. And so David, he turned over seven of Saul's sons, and they executed them. They hung them on the top of a hill for justice for what King Saul had done to them. And so Rizpah, two of her sons were murdered. They were hung. They were executed. And that's where we start this story, because what happened was Rizpah went to where they were. And so in 2 Samuel 21:10, it says, then Rizpah, the mother of two of the men that were murdered, she spread burlap on a rock, and she stayed with them there in the wilderness the entire harvest season. She prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at their bodies during the day, and she stopped wild animals from eating them at night. Rizpah was a credible mother. She wanted to give her sons a proper burial. And so this is a real thing that happened. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we can think it's almost like a fairy tale, but it's not. I want to look and I want to look at what she did and what her life was like. You have to understand that in the East, it is very important that people are buried properly. It's a sign of honor, and it's a sign of respect. And so what Rizpah did is she decided that I'm going to go and I'm going to protect my son's bodies from being eaten by wild animals until they get the respect due them and get a proper burial. And most Bible scholars say that she stayed out there, because it says she stayed out there from the beginning of the harvest season till the end. And a harvest time at least lasted 7 weeks, but it could have lasted up to 6 months. We're not for sure. But for at least 7 weeks, she stayed there in the middle of that wilderness by herself, fighting off those animals so that her sons could get what she thought they deserved. And as mothers, we do that for our kids. And so the number one point I want to start out talking to you about is, the number one point is, there are no perfect mothers, but there is a perfect God. And let me say that one more time. There are no perfect mothers, but there is a perfect God. And I know, as a mother myself, I've had so many mom failures. And the enemy will come to us as mothers, and he wants to bring condemnation to us and to tell us that we're not doing enough and we're not good enough and that maybe another mother could raise our kids better. But no, God handpicked your children for you, Mom. So give yourself a break. God handpicked those kids because there's something in you that you will give them that no other mother can. And so there is no perfection in motherhood. We will miss it. We will get frustrated, and we will holler at our kids sometimes, and we will do things that we shouldn't do. But you know what? It's consistency that matters. And so I want you to get this point. And the name Rizpah, what her name meant was a burning coal. And what a coal does is it is the amber that keeps a fire going. And as a mother, you are a sustaining force in the fires of life for your children. I want to say that one more time. As a mother, you are a sustaining force for the forces of fire in your children's life. And so death did not quench Rizpah's fire. So let's look at her life for a moment. Rizpah was a concubine. She was basically a sex slave. She wasn't a wife to Saul, King Saul. She was a concubine. And so she had been disrespected. She had been looked down upon. Women in that culture, even as a wife, you were considered a piece of property. You weren't considered worth anything. But then, on top of it, she wasn't even a wife to King Saul. She hadn't even had the honor of being asked to be married. She had been a sex slave. And so life hadn't gone well for Rizpah. She was fighting for the proper burial for her sons because she was fighting for something that she never had for her children. And that was honor and dignity and respect to give them a proper burial. She was fighting for something that she never had. And I want you as a mom not to get stuck in your past and look at what you didn't have and things that maybe didn't go right in your life and stay there and look at that and keep that from keeping you in the present and in the future to what God can do for your children. God is a miracle-working God, and He is more than able to provide the needs that your kids have, to show you what you need to give them so that they can live a productive life. That's the will of God for your kids. And so I want to stop right now for a moment, and I want to share with you a testimony of my mom's life. I was raised by a single mom, and my mom is an incredible mother, and her heart is why I am where I am today. She was a very smart woman, and she was voted most likely to succeed in her senior class. She wanted to go into the medical field. But then she met my dad, and she married him, and she chose to be a single mom and didn't go to college. She chose to be a stay-at-home mom, and she didn't go to school. And she was raising us. And as she was going through life, she hit a tragic thing that happened to her. My dad decided to leave, and he divorced her. And when he did, he left us, and he abandoned us, and he left her penniless. She didn't have money. She was basically left in abject poverty. And as she was in that condition, she had to raise all three of us with no college education. She worked two jobs most of the time to give us and to help meet just the basic bills. And she said that a defining moment for her was one day she realized that she couldn't make our house payment, and she thought that we were going to lose where we were living. And so she said that she got down on the floor and she cried out to God, and she said, "God, I can't do this on my own, but I'm asking you as my daddy and as my father to help me raise these kids. I dedicate my kids to you, and I give them to you, and I turn them over, and I ask you to help me to fulfill the plan of God for their lives." And she said that was a real defining moment for her. And then she began a journey of wanting to know God in such an intimate way, because we grew up in a church where the Word of God was never really taught, and we didn't know God like we should. And so she began to look and search, and she found a church, and she started going to the church like here at Victory, a church like this. And she began to find out what God's Word said about her children and the promises that God had for us. And she begins to declare them and pray them over our lives. And at the time, my oldest brother had already left and was in college, but her two younger kids, me and my brother, we were at home, and we were in high school, and we wanted nothing to do with God. And my brother had the most terrible attitude, but she said, "You will go to church with me as long as you're living under my roof, you will go to church, and she forced us to go to church. And my brother would be so mad, I'm sitting in the back, but eventually God got a hold of both of us, and we became on fire for God. And now today, both of us are in ministry. We are serving God and in ministry. My brother is a missionary in Southeast Asia. He lives in Thailand, but he goes into the underground churches, and he teaches and he trains pastors, national pastors, and he is planting churches. He's doing an incredible work there. And John and I pastor this church, and part of the fruit of all that we do and what and of you right now is of because my mom obeyed God and was obedient and held on to the word of God and God's promises. Even though she wasn't a perfect mom, she served a perfect God, and God did a miracle in her life. And I want you to know he wants to do that in your life and in your children's lives. So point number two I want to talk to you about today is determine your source. As a mother and as a person that is called to nurture your family, you can't do it in your own strength. It's God's strength that you have to lean, God's strength that you have to lean into, not your own self-will. In Isaiah 40:29, he says, "He gives us a power. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint." You know, I know you moms that have small children in your house right now, it may seem like the days are endless. I remember when I had kids, and I had three kids in 5 years, and I remember there were days where I couldn't even get out of my house robe. I had a special needs son at the time, and I felt like I was so overwhelmed. But I learned how to tap into God, and I learned how to tap into His supply, not mine. And I want to encourage you special needs moms that are listening today. You know, we have a ministry here, and it's called Super Moms, and it's because of the heart that John and I have for special needs children. And there's incredible mentors that are leading that group. And I just want to encourage you, if you're a special needs mom, God sees what you do. And I know most people will never understand the challenges that you face every day when you get up. But God sees them, and God said that He will give you a supply of strength. He will transfer His strength onto you as a mother. So don't give up, Mom. Keep on fighting and keep on standing for your children and nurturing them and believing in them. And so, you know, also, if you have young children, you know, right now, I know most mothers are homeschooling and fathers are homeschooling, and it can feel like it is impossible, but God sees what you're doing, and you are making a difference in your children's lives. So keep relying on Him and admit that you're weak, and in your weakness, that's when God's strength comes upon you. It says in our weakness is when His power is the greatest. And point number three I want to talk about is this is what I want you to know, is that we all have battles to fight for our children. You know, I don't know why, but I had such a naive expectation of life. I thought that when I had kids that everything would go smoothly and there would be no battles to fight and everything would go great. And I had such a rude awakening. You know, I don't know why we think, especially in the Western world, we think that that as Christians it should come easy to us to raise our kids and to have a family. But you know, the Bible says that trials and temptations will come to us all. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, because I have caused you to overcome the world." So no matter what we face, Jesus gives us answers for the challenges of life and raising our kids. You know, Rizpah, she fought off the vultures by day and the wild animals by night. She was a warrior. And you are called to be a warrior as a mother. You are stronger than you think, moms. God put this woman in the Bible and the attribute she had as a mother so that you can see that God put that same attribute in you and that you are called to fight. And I want you to open your spiritual eyes today and realize that we're in a war for our children. We're in a spiritual battle, and it's not with flesh and blood, but it is with principalities, the Bible says, and powers and things unseen. I want you to know that both God and the culture have a spiritual plan for your children's life. I want to say that one more time. Both God and the culture have a spiritual plan for your children's lives. So I want you to know that there's a plan that God has and a purpose for your child, and then there's a plan that the enemy has, Satan. He's sneaky, but he's also strategic. And he's trying to rob your kids of some things. He's trying to rob them of, first of all, of their purpose. He's trying to rob them of their identity. And most of all, he's trying to rob them of the source of power, which is God's word, that will cause them to overcome in life. And there are some things that I just want to encourage you with. There's some wild beasts that we're called to fight off for our children. And I want to just draw attention to a few of them that we're facing in this generation with our kids. And one of them is social media. You know, social media is incredible, and it gives us so much opportunity, and it saves us so much time. It's an incredible resource that we have, but it also provides a lot of destruction. And we have to make the decision of how much our kids engage with the screen. I see so many parents today and moms today that they let their kids decide how much they want to be on a screen and on social media. And I feel for kids because I know with my own self, it becomes an addiction. I know with my own self, I have to sometimes set my phone aside because I will pick it up when I shouldn't, and I will spend time on it when I shouldn't. But I want you to know, Mom, you can have the courage to pick the times that your kids should be on there and the times they shouldn't, because our kids need our engagement. They need our engagement as a family. They need our engagement face to face. I want you to ask God to show you ways that you can engage with your children, how you can engage with each one of them. And He's faithful to show you that. Another thing that social media provides a danger to our kids is pornography. You know, pornography is rampant today, and kids are being exposed to it at such an early age. And what pornography does is it provides a false intimacy. It provides a false intimacy that will cause them to not be able to connect in true relationships. So I want to encourage you, moms, to look at your children's history. Look at what they're watching. It's okay. You're the parent in the home. Look at what they're watching, and look and do research and find out how you can set controls around them to protect them from this wild animal that's coming to destroy their life. Another one is that our society is telling our children that there's no absolute truth, that there's no right and there's no wrong, that there's only gray, that your truth is truth and my truth is truth, and they may not agree, but that's okay. It's madness. There is absolute truth. It's the truth of God's word. His word is a blueprint for our kids, and it's our jobs as mothers to produce and to teach our children what God's word says. So, you know, I know with my kids, it was a day-to-day thing. It wasn't some super spiritual religious thing that we did, but just through the circumstances of life, the things that they face day-to-day, I would teach them what God's word said about those issues. And it was a training, and it took time. But I want you to know, Mom, that it's worth it. It is so worth it. So take the time to teach your kids God's truth. Another big one today that is a wild animal that's coming to devour your child is their sexuality is being distorted by the culture. Gender confusion is huge today, and it's even growing more and more where kids don't know if they're a boy or a girl. You know, and we're told by even experts that we shouldn't even pick our kids' gender, that they should be able to do that for themselves as they get older. It is crazy. I want you to know that that is trying to rob them of their identity. God is the one who tells them who they are. God's word is the one who tells them who they are. He is the creator, and He created them to be either male or female. And He is calling them to rise up as a godly and strong man and wise up as a godly and strong woman. And it's our job as a mother to teach them who they are in Christ Jesus. They are a child of the Most High God, and their identity is found only in Him. And so I just want to encourage you to take the time and lean into God and teach your children these things. You know, there's so many voices in the world, and they're telling us how to raise our kids. And there's some great people out there and some amazing people that are telling us how to raise our kids. There's Dr. Phil, there's Oprah, there's self-help books. And they're all telling us different things, and it becomes so confusing. But I want you to learn as a mother how to lean into God, how to lean into Him and find intimacy with Him and to find out the truths of His Word. That's my heart as a spiritual mom of this house at Victory. I pray for you daily, and one of the biggest things I pray for you is that you will find intimacy with God and you will fall in love with His Word. And you know, maybe you're starting out in your journey as a Christian, and maybe you don't know how to do that. You don't know how to lean in and hear the voice of God. You don't know what God's Word says. I want to encourage you as a mom to get in a small group. We're starting them soon, and they're going to be on Zoom. And so I want you to know that there are women that are right now praying for you, that are leading small groups, that are mentors, that want to come alongside you and walk through the stages of life that you're in and the journey that you're on as a mother. They want to mentor you. They want to come alongside you and just lift you up and cheer you on, because we need it as moms. And so I just can't encourage you enough. Get in a small group. You know, there's no cookie cutter parenting. I wish there was, but there's not. And I know with my kids, all three of them had different personalities and they had different needs. And I had to learn how to parent them all in different ways. And the only way I could do that is to lean in to God and ask Him for wisdom. And He promised in His Word, He said, if any person asks for wisdom, if they ask in faith, He will give it to them. And I promise you, God is faithful and He will give you the wisdom that you need for your child. Listening to His still small voice, reading His Word, He will speak to your heart. He'll bring you resources. He'll bring you people that you need in your life to help your children. And point number four is my final point, and it's that God is calling us as mothers to have sincere faith. You know, Paul told Timothy this. You know, Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and his son, he was a spiritual son in the faith, was Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 1:5, he said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. So Paul told Timothy that the faith that lived in him, it didn't start with him. It started two generations ago. It started with his grandmother Lois, and it passed down to his mom, and then it passed down to him. And I want you to know, Mom, that you're called to pass down that sincere faith to your child. And it's a transferring that God will provide from you, the transferring of your faith to your children. And I want you to know that sincere faith isn't perfect faith. It's not about being perfect. I guarantee you that Timothy's grandmother and his mom, they weren't perfect women. They were just ordinary women that lived day to day and faced all kind of challenges and failed so many times. But they were faithful in raising their son, Timothy, in the things of God. And that's what God is asking you to do as a mom. And I just want to read the word sincere, and it means it's heartfelt without hypocrisy. That's what that word sincere means, just heartfelt and without hypocrisy. It's just real faith. It's an action that is provided by God. He said that He has given all of us a measure of faith, but what we do with it is so important. So I just want to tell you, Mom, to keep fighting. God is not calling you to have a sincere faith, but He is calling you to have a sincere faith. He's not calling you to have a perfect faith. Declare God's word over every circumstance of your child's life. And as a grandmother, do that too. Just like Timothy's grandmother did. You have influence. You have an investment to give to your grandchildren. I want to encourage your grandmas to live out your faith for your grandkids. They need that. So I just want to encourage you that as Rizpah saw her faith manifested, you will see your faith manifested. What happened with Rizpah was, as she did that, word got out that there was this crazy woman who was this crazy fighter who was demanding that her kids get a proper burial. And word got back to David. And you know, that's amazing, because in that, like I said, in that time, women were considered a piece of property. They weren't acknowledged in society. But word got back to David about Rizpah's faith. Isn't that incredible? Word got back to the king, and they told him what she was doing, and God moved on David's heart. Rizpah's faith caused David to move and to go and to take her sons, and he gave them a proper burial by their father Saul. And after that, the drought stopped and the rains came and Israel began to prosper again as a nation. Her faith did an incredible thing. It did an incredible thing, and your faith will do an incredible thing in your children's lives. So I just want to encourage you today, Mom, just like Rizbah saw her miracle come to pass, just like my mom saw her miracle come to pass, I've seen things happen in my children's lives through the years as I stood in them, I believed, that came to pass. My son was healed from autism because we stood on the Word of God, John and I, and declared over him what God said, and we saw that his life totally turn around and change. God wants to do that for you. He's not a respecter of persons. God sees what you're going through. God sees what your children are going through. You know, you may have a child today that's dealing with addiction. You may have a child that's grown and has walked away from God and is making terrible decisions for their life. Maybe your child's going through a divorce. Maybe your child's dealing with a sickness right now. I don't know what you're facing, but God does. And He has provided so many promises in His Word for your children. So I want to encourage you, Mom. Keep declaring those words that God spoke over your children. You declare them over your children, and you'll see God do an incredible work in their lives. So the three takeaways that I want to give you today is, number one, God is the source of your strength. This can apply to anybody, not just mothers today. Number one is, God is the source of your strength, and in your weakness is when His grace is able to work in your lives. That's the greatest time that His work will work in your life. His power will work in your lives, and is in your weakness. Number two, you are empowered to drive the vultures and the wild beasts out of your children's lives. I pray today that you open your spiritual eyes and you see the true enemy in their lives. You know, just like we in the natural protect our kids from danger. We see those bullies that try to bully our kids, and that mama bear comes out in us. I know when my kids were little and somebody tried to bully my kids, I could feel the heat rising in my body, and that mama bear would come out, and I wanted to kill somebody. That is an attribute that God put in us. And I pray that your spiritual eyes will be opened and that you'll see the dangers and those wild beasts that are coming for your children. And that mama bear will come out in you. And you will use God's word and you will use His authority of the name of Jesus. And you will stop those in your children's lives. And number three, the third thing that I want you to take away today is God's word has the power to accomplish miracles. God's word, it says in the Bible, has the power innate in it to perform what it is called to perform. And so as you declare over your children the promises of God, as you lean into Him and you hear what He tells you to do for your kids' lives, God is faithful to do it. So I just want to take a moment now and I just want to pray for all of you as moms. And before I do, I just want to encourage you moms to know that God loves you. He's for you. Give yourself a break. Take time for yourself. Take care of yourself. Don't try to make the house perfect. Don't try to keep everything perfect and clean and at the expense of your kids. I know the greatest regret that I have is that I didn't play with my kids more, that I didn't take more time with them. I know that you are called to do great things and your children are called to do great things. There's a great purpose for them and that you are the one to help them fulfill that in their lives. So I just want to pray today with you. Let's just bow our heads. Father, I just come before you now and I just pray for every mom and every woman that's listening to my voice. And I pray, Father, that you will give them hope, that you will give them courage, and that you will show them that they are making a difference in what they're doing day to day. Father, that you will show them that you see what they do, and it matters to you, and it matters to their families. I declare and I speak over their children's lives, no matter what's going on in their lives, that their children will serve you. Just like you said in your word, me and my house will serve the Lord. Their children will serve you. I break every bondage off their lives. Whatever they're facing, if they're facing heartache, I pray that you mend their hearts. If they're facing sickness, that you will heal here and you will heal their bodies. If they are facing depression or anxiety, Lord, that you draw your peace and you cover them with your peace, Father God. And I just thank you, Father, that every mom today under my voice will know and sense your presence and know that they can be an incredible mother. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I just thank you today, and I just wish you a happy Mother's Day. But before I leave, I just want to give you a chance to receive Jesus. Maybe you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior. Everything that I spoke about today, you can't do it without Him. And so I'm just giving you an opportunity right now. I'm asking you, wherever you're at and wherever you're watching, just to bow your heads. And if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I ask you right now to pray this prayer with me. And as you do, Jesus promised, He said He would come into your heart and He would never leave you. And from this moment on, He will be with you. He will never forsake you. So pray this after me. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I have sinned and I am in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and was buried and rose from the dead to pay my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life, Jesus, and I receive you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I repent and turn away from any sin and desire to serve you the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart and washing away my sins. I am now a child of God, and when I die, heaven will be my eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. And next week, we're going to have a drive-in church, and we're so excited about that. And happy Mother's Day. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.